Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are filling out a postseason credential request today for the Washington Nationals.
It's part of the job. You got to do it.
I hope we get to use those credentials.
I don't want it to be one of those 19-0 t-shirts that the Patriots sent to, you know, all around the world.
Some kids wearing in some country.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today, will the Nationals make the playoffs? We'll be taking your calls on that. They have lost 9 of their last 14. More on the Nats in moments in our Beltway Blitz, but we start on the football field. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, tell me where I'm wrong. Trent Williams should be traded today.
Well, you're wrong. Trent Williams should have been traded 3 weeks ago or 2 months ago.
I'll take it.
Why not today? I guess that makes sense. You know, there was JP's report that the Patriots offered a first-round draft pick way back when. I don't think the price will ever get better than that. So to me, if they weren't going to take that, they've got their heels dug in. This is a matter of principle now and not a matter of negotiation.
Michael, open-ended question here. Take it wherever you'd like. Why is the defense so bad?
Well, I don't want to let Greg Minuski off the hook, so don't interpret this as me letting Greg Minuski off the hook. He hasn't been very good. The players turned on him last year. They retained him. I'm not sure why they retained him. All that said, though, you've got really talented guys who are not making plays, and that's not up to the scheme every single time. That's not always, hey, Greg Minuski needs to find a scheme that gets these guys into favorable position. Sometimes you got to go make a play because you're a great football player who's a first-round draft pick and well-compensated. Montez Sweat didn't see enough from him. We got the sack from Ryan Kerrigan, but I would say up front there were a lot of times these guys end up in one-on-one matchups. And you acknowledge that the Cowboys are a great offensive line, but you got to win at least a few one-on-one matchups if you've got that amount of talent on paper. Back in the secondary, I don't know what's going on back in the secondary, man. Probably more of the same, you know. Josh Norman not making plays. Monte Nicholson not making plays. I think the jury's out on Landon Collins. I like him, but, you know, if you're going to get paid that much, you got to be an impact player.
Running game didn't improve with Adrian Peterson in and Darius Geis out. It's obviously not a running back problem. Are they close to being able to run the ball?
I don't know that they want to be close to running the ball. I think they're just fine with what they've got. I think in Gruden's world, probably a 70-30 pass split is preferable even to him. And frankly, what I've seen of the offense so far, I'm not going to disagree with Jay. I think the passing game has been much better than expected. I think the schemes have been very good. Case Keenum alluded to that at the podium. Kevin O'Connell, Jay Gruden have really set him up for success. I think given what they've got and what they've done with it, I tip my hat to the passing game. I think they've really overachieved in that area.
Jordan Reed. When do we expect him to play?
Yeah, well, things were looking really good last week, and then we got that stunner where, you know, late in the week, oh, no, you know, he's still not there, not cleared. I don't know. I'm worried for that guy, man. That's 7, I believe, documented concussions. You know that means the number's probably way higher than that. I hope they're cautious with him. I hope he's weighing all his options. He's absolutely a game changer and a guy you'd love to have on the field, but I don't want to see it at the cost of his personal quality of life because I think we're at that point now with him.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Thank you, pal.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk baseball. Jamal Collier covers the Nats for MLB.com. They have won just 5 of their last 14 games after losing last night. Jamal, 1.5 game over Chicago, 1.5 games over Milwaukee. Should Nats fans be panicking?
Well, I think they're going to be panicky regardless of what I say. You know, I would say my panic level is somewhere probably around the medium-ish. You know, I think that this team is sort of cooled off. The rest of the schedule for the NL Central teams is pretty light. The Nats have obviously run into pretty much a tough schedule here. The bullpen is still problematic. And the offense is suddenly starting to head into a cold spell after kind of scoring 14 runs a game. So, you know, I think that they still sit in pretty good position right now, but they've certainly got to turn things around pretty quickly here because the Brewers and the Cubs are turning things around, and they've got a pretty light schedule here the rest of the way.
Yeah, what's going on with the offense? I mean, a few games this month they've done the thing they did in August where they scored a million runs, but they had that set, you know, this over seven games with the Braves, Jamal. Five of those games they scored a combined two runs against Braves starting pitching. It's got nice cold in, for a lot of these nights, man. They're just not getting it done.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that is just kind of regression. I mean, they had so many guys that were just playing a little bit out of their mind for a while that your guys have all just kind of come back to earth at the same time. And then all of a sudden, those guys are slumping as well. You know, you lose your best offensive catcher. Your Matt Adams kind of lose one half of your first place platoon. No Victor Robles come back to earth. I mean, so just kind of a bunch of small things, I think, has just added up. You know, I don't think I'm concerned necessarily about the offense. I still kind of believe that they will hit, but the competition has gotten tougher. And I think that just with seeing the competition get tougher and seeing everybody kind of collectively at once kind of go into a bit of a downslide outside of Anthony Rendon, it's 400 every single day. You know, I would say that that is probably still the least worry of the team. I think that eventually they will hit, but it's certainly just kind of odd and concerning because they were so unstoppable for weeks and if not a month there.
Jamal, if they do make the playoffs, and everyone's just kind of talking about this as getting to the play-in game, which in and of itself really doesn't get you a whole lot. That and a couple bucks buys you a pack of gum. But if they get there and they get to the playoffs in the division series, I still worry because bullpens win in the playoffs now more than rotations, and they don't have one. Who do you trust right now to protect a one- or two-run lead?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before, that there's probably nobody in this old bullpen, I think, right now. Sean Doolittle's had some pretty positive outings the last couple of times. I think he's starting to get his way back there. And Hudson, I probably still trust the most in that group. But there's nobody that I feel that as you go in and feel, you know, locked down, that there's no chance that the game is kind of over there. And I think that it's not the norm that we've seen at the more in the postseason the last couple of years. I think the Nats are still trying to buck the trend there and then say that, hey, teams don't have starters like us. And we do have Strasburg and Corbin and such. And when those guys are on, we can push them late into games and deep into the sixth or seventh inning. But I think you're going to see in the playoffs, good lineups. This is kind of what we saw last night. The Strasburg, you get his pitch count up to 100 or so pitches, get him out of there by the fifth or sixth inning. Then the Nats bullpen, I just don't know if that's how well they can navigate getting 10, 11, 12, 13 outs every single night. I just don't know how this bullpen is going to see it. I think that's where you see the limits here. I guess a good team like the Dodgers and a good lineup like the Dodgers who can do exactly what you saw last night, get the starter pitching out of the game and then get to that middle part of the bullpen and take the lead.
Jamal, we've gotten to know each other a little bit over the years, so I'm hoping you'll understand what I'm talking about here, right? Max Scherzer's still pretty good, but he's not totally Scherzer-y just yet. How close to being Scherzer-y is Max Scherzer at this point?
Well, that's the thing, right? Everybody's kind of like, man, Max doesn't look great. He's got like a 3-something ERA to come back from the IL and such. We're so used to him being, automatic and being so dominant. I think that the start against the Braves 2 starts ago kind of made me feel optimistic that he was going to definitely be back to that point. A little bit of a step back, I think, this past start. He just didn't look like he was able to have that finish, the stuff to finish off hitters and really kind of the swing and miss stuff that he normally has. I still think relatively have a couple, two or three starts for him to go before potential wild card game. If they got there, I still think that I feel confident that he's going to be able to get himself back. He knows how to get himself ready and get himself prepared to be ready for that game and to get his stuff to where he needs to be. And just the fact that, hey, there's one guy I want on the mound in the game for my life, it's this guy. And if he can find a way to pull, you know, seven innings or whatever it is, out of a hat or whatever it is. He's a guy I still trust. So I think that Max, the concern for him is still, I would say, not that high. I think that he's going to be able to get himself back to where he needs to be before the season's over.
Jamal, thank you. Much appreciated.
No problem, guys.
See you, buddy.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, we'll tell you which Redskin is going to join us tomorrow at 11:30. Plus, speaking of the Skins, who do you need to get more out of? Which Redskin needs to start showing up in a way that they haven't so far if this team's going to get off the schneid and win a football game? We'll get into that on the Fan. /12:45 today, we've got 2 Nats tickets that could be yours. Plus, we'll go around the NFL. Minka Fitzpatrick traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. I know a lot of Redskins fans wanted to get their hands on Minka Fitzpatrick. I just don't know that I'd be in the business of giving up a first-round pick at this point if I'm Washington. But if you're going to, adding a tremendous player at a marquee position, who's probably better than whoever you're going to draft in the top 10 this coming year.
He's a stud.
Isn't a bad way to go.
I'm not in the business of giving up first-round picks right now. If I'm New England, sure. If I'm Kansas City, sure. If I'm a team that's really, really good, got a chance to win the whole damn thing, absolutely. I'm not. I'm the Redskins. I need to make that pick for myself. I'd like that they were interested, by the way. See if you can go bargain basement shopping. See if you can find Tombstone in the bargain bin. I got no problem with that. But they don't have a second rounder next year already because of the Montez Sweat deal.
Tomorrow's show will be shorter than we are normally on air for.
Mm-hmm.
The Nats play the Cardinals day game in St. Louis, so we'll be off the air right around noon tomorrow. But at 11 a.m., Kevin Bacon is joining us.
Dude, Kevin Bacon.
That Kevin Bacon.
Yeah!
Will be on the show. I hope it happens, by the way. It's confirmed. It's booked. Like, there's not any more firm way to do it. But it's also just a random thing, so I could just see Kevin Bacon, like, going to the bank and forgetting to call in.
But it's like 8 a.m. on the West Coast, right? I mean, like, maybe he's not
up. I doubt
up.
He lives in the West Coast, does he?
What do I know?
He's like a Boston or New York guy. I'm also making this up.
No one knows anything right now.
Right. But I'm looking forward to talking to Kevin Bacon.
Email from his publicist at like noon. So sorry, Kevin didn't make it. He was not interested.
11:30 tomorrow, we'll be talking to Jimmy Moreland of the Redskins. So that'll be cool. Jimmy Moreland, who played a bunch this weekend. I really liked what I saw from him. I think the Redskins have found themselves a long-term contributor in the seventh round. Give Kyle Smith and his staff a lot of credit for that. One other thing real quick before we get popping on what we wanted to talk about and take some calls on. I posted a poll on Twitter, and I know that I normally don't like doing that, and it's not really part of my game.
It's not who you are.
Polls on Twitter just aren't for me. They're beneath me, as you know, Danny.
Yes, absolutely.
But Grant H. Polson got to work, and here's what my favorite thing to do is the binary poll. I just love the yes or no poll. The Redskins should trade Trent Williams for draft picks as soon as possible. Correct or incorrect? Those are the two options. Over 1,100 people have voted so far. 95% of those responding say that the Redskins should trade Trent Williams as soon as they can. 95%. If you're Bruce Allen, know your audience, man. No one's going to be upset. No one's going to say you lost. No one's going to say this game of chicken went Trent Williams' way. You turned an angry malcontent who doesn't want to be here anymore, and maybe he is perfectly within his rights to be unhappy and upset. Maybe they screwed a bunch of things up medically. None of that matters. He doesn't want to play for you. If he does show up, it's going to be begrudgingly and just to get paid. He's not going to be fun to be around. And you're not winning this year anyway, and he's going to be 32 soon and gets hurt a lot. Trade Trent Williams. 95% of people on this Twitter vote are saying that they would be happy if the Redskins did that.
And I'd like to check the IP addresses on that 5%. I wonder if they come from offices in and around Redskins Park. I wonder if it's Bruce, and then like right down the hall, you go to a different computer. What's your login, Doug? I need to vote on a poll.
Would that be hilarious if Goose had a burner Twitter account and he was voting on my Twitter poll, and then he walked down the way and he's like, hey, I'm going to just use your computer real quick.
I need to update the software.
Like Eric Schaefer's like, I'm going to grab lunch. What's up? And he's like, oh, nothing. Just got something to do.
Eric, do me a favor. Don't log out. There's some IT guys coming through to update a couple things on malware.
Can you imagine if Goose starts trying to up the vote?
He's using terms he doesn't know about.
Oh, that's so funny.
My BlackBerry.
I wish that would happen. Along those lines, it is always amazing to me the amount of influence that people think we have. With topics like this or any topic, really. Like, I still will occasionally get tweets from people angrily telling me that
you
ran Dusty Baker out of Washington, D.C. single-handedly. It was me who had him run out of D.C., not his horrendous managing in the playoffs or the fact that ownership didn't think they could win in the postseason with him based on his almost two-decade track record of being bad in October. Not that Mike Rizzo wanted to go in a different direction or they wanted to try to swing for the fences with a young analytical guy, but it was just that I didn't think Dusty Baker was a very good manager. And there are other examples, right, whether it's like advocating quarterbacks or wide receivers or people like, you have no idea how much influence you guys have. I have a very good idea.
I have a great grasp of it.
It's next to zero. And a lot of times it's zero on the dot. But the it actually is flattering. I mean, it really makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Even though it should do the opposite, because generally they're angry at you. The point is, the notion that what we say on the air matters to people that run these organizations.
Like, do they legitimately think that right now Mike Rizzo's in his office going, "Oh my God, what did they say? Let's change our strat." No, they have highly compensated professionals.
I've had hilarious conversations with Rizzo before. Yeah. Just kind of, oh, by the way, off to the side conversations at Nats Park, where he is just borderline laughing at some of the things that get said by media members or written by media members.
Making fun of those things.
The Redskins, who have more of an animosity and kind of a contentious relationship in general, in terms of their highest ranking officials with the media, even more so in that way. I mean, what we say matters is zippy. I wish that...
And we shouldn't be giving away the sauce on this, but I'm telling you, it's true.
I mean, I honestly do. I really wish that what I said mattered. I do. It doesn't at all.
Now, so tune in every day.
But I will say this.
No, I know.
The teams know what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches will say they don't follow it. They do. You know, front office people will say they never hear about it. Word gets to them. Players track this stuff. Guys like Josh Norman know who's being negative and who's being positive and who, you know, wants to defend him and who he's tight with and who is telling it like it is. Like, these guys keep score of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that anything that we say actually infiltrates the planning. That having been said, we're making the case today that the Redskins should trade Trent Williams. You can vote on that poll at Grant H. Paulson if you agree or you disagree. Which Redskin do you need to see more from moving forward? We've got two games and 8 quarters of football. On offense, they can throw the ball. They can't run the ball. They're averaging 2.5 yards per carry. Bottom couple teams in the league there. On defense, they haven't really done much, but Jay Gruden yesterday almost accentuated solely the pass rush as being their big issue. The reason they can't get off the field, the reason they're bad on third down, the reason they're giving up long touchdowns, not enough pass rush. Hadn't been good enough. So, with that in mind, who needs to be better? Who needs to step up? And where does the production need to come from starting in primetime? Monday Night Football at FedEx. 5 of the scariest words in the Redskins language. Who's got to be better? We'll get to that next. We'll take your calls if you've got them. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You're going to be stuck in traffic on Monday night headed over to FedEx, like my friend Grant Paulson was, for hours post-game this past weekend. Why not be in a car that you love? You can do that at Tedbird Ford. Find a car that you love at an unbelievable deal. First, here's what's going on. This is just generally, right? No payments for 60 days on pretty much every model. That's what's going on at Tedbird Ford. Why 60? Here's why. They're celebrating their 60th year in business. That's right. For 60 years, they've been taking care of folks just like you and me. So here are some of the deals now. In addition to not paying anybody anything for basically 2 months, you get $15,000 below the MSRP and no payments on a 2019 F-150 XLT 4x4 Supercruise. That's $15,000 below the MSRP, and then you don't pay them anything for 60 days. How about $12,225 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Edge? We got a 19 Ford Edge, and it is delightful. Go see my guys at Tedbird Ford in Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at Tedbird.com. And when you go, for goodness sake, just tell them what he sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman joins us in a half hour at 1. A chance to take some of your calls right now. Remember, we're giving away Nats tickets in 12 minutes. Give you a little Nats stock report when we do that on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Which Redskin has not done enough and needs to be better starting on Monday Night Football against the Bears in Week 3? That's the question at 800-636-1067. I'll start with a guy that I have very high hopes for this season as a rookie. We just hadn't done a whole lot yet, and that's Montez Sweat.
That's my answer.
Montez Sweat, to this point, has probably been a little bit better in the grand scheme of things than people will make him out to have performed, in that he's actually done really well against the run, which is supposed to be an issue, and he's been okay at a push in the pocket. He just hasn't gotten close to impacting games with sacks, with quarterback hits, with hurries that lead to turnovers. And in the first round, he was a guy when drafted, I was saying 8, 9 sacks, something like that as a rookie. The thought was that he'd be able to influence games, and he hasn't really done that. He hadn't made any plays. So you need to get more out of Montez Sweat. That's where we can start the list.
Yeah, that was my first answer. Ryan Kerrigan's got 4 quarterback hits and a sack. It's not glamorous all the time, but the workmanlike pace that he's always on, that's, you know, he'll end up with double-digit sacks that way. Sweat has no QB hits to his credit at this point. That simply has to change. I think that unlocks everything else. I'll stay along that defensive front, and I think we both have kind of singled out pass rush here as a point of emphasis. Either you could pick Deron Payne, who's probably tougher over the nose, but
I thought he was outstanding, and particularly in the first half against the Cowboys.
I thought he played well there too. Against the run, I think good things are happening. But Ioannidis is the guy. I mean, he's recently paid. He is a guy that I thought could be a Pro Bowler if things broke the right way this year. If, you know, Allen doesn't get too much credit or something, maybe you could have a couple guys from that front. He didn't have a quarterback hit either. And last year, how many times did you see him basically forklift people? Just go excavator style, dig down, pick somebody up, and knock him into the backfield, disrupt the play, get a sack, bat a pass down, do a million things. You haven't seen him much. And he's been good against the run because he's good against the run. I need somebody to do something miraculous here without Jonathan Allen.
Another wide receiver has to step up other than Terry McLaurin on the other side of the ball. I don't really care who. You know, Paul Richardson got paid $40 million. We talk a lot about Josh Norman not being worth what he's paid. Richardson very quietly had 3 catches this week. Now, one was a pretty athletic play for a touchdown and an individual effort that I liked. But he does not alter outcomes of games or really alter the drives that are ongoing very often. He's just, you know, to me, he was a speed guy in Seattle. He was okay when he was the 3rd wide receiver and he got lack cornerback play against him, you know, lacking coverage in a 3rd corner. He's not that guy as a quote-unquote number one, but either he or Trey Quinn, someone's got to step up. Give me someone else who can make a play in the passing game. Let's go to Tony in Long Island. Who do you need to see more from, Tony?
How are you guys?
Hey, buddy.
Great, buddy.
I was thinking about Montez Sweat, but you know what? He's a rookie, so I'm going to give him a pass for now, even though it has been disappointing. But going to what you said about being paid and being altering a game, I'm going to call out Landon Collins. And here's the problem I have with this character, okay? This guy comes to the Redskins like he's Ronnie Lott. He comes to this team like he's a big shot. He's doing all sorts of interviews talking about the Hall of Fame, and he wants to wear Sean Taylor's number, and he's this and he's that. Not once in the last 8 quarters have I been thankful that he's been on my defense. He hasn't altered a damn thing. And here's another thing about Landon Collins. He says, oh, he never has to prove anything to anybody. Let me tell you who Landon Collins really is. Landon Collins is just a guy that got drafted that could not earn a second contract with his football team. And guess what? That's a bad football team. That's a bad defense. And they didn't want to bring him back. And so here's the thing with Landon Collins. Be more than a 0. Step up. Make a play. Do something to help us win a football game. That's my take, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
buddy. It,
Tony. Love his call.
Landon Collins was a first-team All-Pro, not on accident, right? And you go back to 2016, and the guy made 125 tackles and broke up 13 passes and picked off 5 others and scored a couple of touchdowns for the Giants. Pretty incredible season. So I won't say that he didn't earn another contract. He fell out of favor there for whatever reason. His point's correct, though, in terms of the plays through 8 quarters that have been generated. He sliced into the backfield for a TFL on the goal line. I remember thinking that was a big deal against the Eagles, but the game had already kind of been lost at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped shut down Ertz in a way that the Redskins haven't been able to in a long, long time. But you pay him what you did, you're expecting, I would say, 5-6 times this year, he does something to spike exponentially your chance to win a game. Hadn't really done that through 2 games.
Yeah, I'm a Collins guy. So, well, in general, in principle, I would say I disagree with Tony. But so he leads the team in tackles, talking about Landon Collins,
right,
which is a terrible sign, by the way.
Well, I don't. It's not like he's a traditional safety.
True.
He's basically a box linebacker.
I'd still rather have my middle linebacker or somebody else do it, but I see your point.
He kind of is your middle linebacker a lot.
By default, almost. But if you're saying, hey, he hasn't made a game-changing play yet, that's true.
That's fair.
That's happened. Right?
I thought he played well in both of the two games, but he has not done anything that led to 30,000 people jumping up and cheering.
Yeah, if I'm making a list of problems, like, that's the bottom of my honey-do list, right?
But I get the call. Yeah. I think it's a good one. Dre, Manassas, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up? Who do you need more from?
Well, you know, it's actually the reverse for me. Who would I need to see less of? It's the left side of the offensive line. I think between Morgan Moses and our guard, I'm really disappointed in them. You know, the defensive line, I think you can cover. You can blitz. You can find ways as a defensive coordinator to generate pressure. But with the offensive line, Morgan Moses and Brandon Sheriff, all these holdings, not being able to make the holes so that the running game can excel. I think for me, when I watch this game on Monday night, I don't want to hear Morgan Moses' name for a hold. I don't want to hear Sheriff's name for a hold. I want to see less. The only time I want to see these guys is if they're carving some big old holes for the running backs to go through.
But yeah, too many penalties. By the way, I think that was workplace, Dre, wasn't it? Just kind of a quiet, maybe in the office, in the cubicle. Didn't want anyone around him to know what he was doing. Sounded like workplace, Dre. Just the flags need to stop. Now, I can live with them from Donald Penn at 36, who was on his couch a month and a half ago. I could live with them from Eric Flowers, who, by the way, no one seems to be talking about.
Seems fine, right?
Hasn't really been much of an issue, although he's a guard and they're not running the ball well. But Scherf, one of the best guards in the league. Moses, you paid him a ton of money. Those two guys need to be flagged way less. Anthony in Fairfax, you're on the Fan.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
I think the right side of the offensive line, as the last caller mentioned, I think Scherf wants a new contract. He's got to be able to give us more and give us less holding, I guess. And Moses, you know, it's been 5-6 years already. He's paid well for a right tackle. He just got to shut down Khalil Mack on Monday night. And then on the other side, I think, you know, Landon Collins has been okay, but we have to get him moving downhill. He's really best when he's attacking the running back, attacking the quarterback. And he's got to cover for the defensive line because they're not getting any pressure. So they've got to get him closer to the line, get him to get more pressure. And I think he's capable. He just hasn't been able to do it yet.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you, man.
Squeezing a couple more calls on Redskins that have to step up. We've both got a couple of more names we'll throw out there next as well. Plus, we're giving away Nats tickets as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. We'll tell you how you can win those tickets. And we'll go around the NFL on G&D. Grant, Danny, 106.7 The Fan. As promised, right now, we'll give away a couple of Nats tickets. They're playing the Phillies. Bryce is back in town. September 26th, final week of the season. We'll know at that point very likely whether or not the year is going to come down to the final weekend. You could be seeing a vital baseball game for their playoff chances. 106.7 The Fan, PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame all season long. Caller number 10. At 800-636-1067, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union, you're winning those tickets right now. Good luck to all of you. Get back to the Skins calls in just a second on who you need to see more from as well. But wanted to hop around the NFL with you really quickly, Danny. A couple of the big storylines of the last 24 hours, starting with the Steelers of all teams. After finding out that they didn't have Ben Roethlisberger available for the rest of this season, he's going to be out. Some speculation he may retire, although he said yesterday that won't happen. They've decided, even without Ben,
double down,
push the chips in, man. They traded a bunch of picks to move up in the draft to get their guy a linebacker. They're trying to upgrade the defense. So now they'll do the same in the secondary. A first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick from the Miami Dolphins, who are having a complete fire sale.
Yeah, I guess the time is now, even without Big Ben. The Eli Manning era, exactly a 500 record over his career. Just a guy for so many seasons with two really nice years over the course of his decade and a half as quarterback of the New York Giants. That era is over, and it's not for Geno Smith this time. It's for the kid they drafted very high, Daniel Jones out of Duke. Much maligned, probably a lot of it unfair. But a lot of it fair, to be honest with you. A guy without a pretty good college resume, Dave Gettleman saw him for 5 minutes one time at a workout and decided that's the guy that's going to replace Eli. He's looked good in the preseason, looked good in limited action. He will take over for the Giants starting this week.
Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded from Jacksonville after getting into a sideline dispute with his head coach, Doug Marrone. Had to be separated by teammates. Marrone yesterday said that he was trying to get Ramsey to move on after a play. Ramsey wanted him to challenge a play that Marrone had not, and that's what led to their beef, which he downplayed.
Has the team decided any repercussions whatsoever for Jalen with his altercation with you on the sideline?
No. Those things happen. They happen all the time. I mean, they really do. I think now they're a little bit more publicized, but ever since I, you know, played, you know, there's always stuff that goes on during the course of the game. I know when I was a line coach, they didn't see a lot of them, though, you know, because no one was really in on them. But, you know, those things occur, and, you know, it's a high-intensity profession. You know, there's a lot of emotion that goes on.
Cam Newton is beat up. He's really beat up. We wondered over the years. I mean, I think of Shaquille O'Neal, right, playing in the NBA, who was so much bigger, so much stronger than everybody, that people just kept taking hacks at him, right? Whether it was the broken thumb, and the only way to stop him was to foul him and send him to the line. And he was so big and strong that you thought he could just deal with it. Well, those hits take their wear and tear. Same with Calvin Johnson in the NFL. You got that at quarterback with Cam Newton. All of those hits and hits and hits and hits have finally added up. In addition to the shoulder that everyone's supposed to pretend is fine, which it ain't, by the way, he's now got a foot issue. He aggravated a foot that was previously sprained. His status is in doubt for this weekend. Here's what I would do if that was the Carolina Panthers. I would sit Cam Newton. Not because it's a punishment, but at some point we got to say, let's see if we can get you whole again. Let's see if we can get you to be close to Cam Newton at some point. We're asking you to do too much at this stage. Let Will Greer hand it off a couple times and dump it to Christian McCaffrey. Why don't you take a rest, buddy?
One show in town last night, Browns at the Jets on Monday Night Football. New York started Trevor Siemian, who was it in the end a compound break? What did they call the break of his ankle?
I didn't see the official total, but that's
disgusting,
sounds
whatever
right
it was.
Yeah.
Luke Falk, 20 of 25 for 198 yards. Just everything at the line of scrimmage checked down. He actually, for a guy off the street, off the practice squad, played fairly well, yeah. But they could not manage anything offensively. They lose by 20. Baker Mayfield got fat on the Jets, threw for 325, and Odell Beckham Jr. made a ridiculous one-handed catch on the sideline and then caught the longest pass of his career last night.
That dude's so good.
161 yards on 6 catches, and after the game, he was done talking about Greg Williams. Remember the back and forth. He said Williams put his players essentially on the line and said, go hurt Odell Beckham Jr. in a preseason game. Williams came back at Beckham and said, well, he's not that good. The Giants don't even want him, and I'm paraphrasing. Beckham last night let his play do the talking.
What was your feelings about what Greg Williams said the other day about he basically said he didn't think you were one of the league's most dynamic players?
Who? Who's it? Oh. You know, everybody has the right to their own opinion. He's a phenomenal coach. He's got a great defense, but I'm done talking about it. You know, we won, so, you know, I just try to make plays to help the team.
Latest on Antonio Brown, the accuser who has filed suit will meet with investigators here this week. But there's an in-depth story by Robert Klemko, a guy that you and I both know, from Sports Illustrated that chronicles a long pattern of previously undisclosed and under-talked about bizarre behavior at best and malicious behavior at worst from Antonio Brown, an artist that he commissioned to do a mural he left unpaid, and that there was another alleged sexual incident there, although she's declined to press charges. He left a charity high and dry for some payments that were supposed to have been made
Good
in his
guy.
Name. There's an awful lot there that, again, is a pattern of very, very disturbing behavior. There's also some more background on it, but it's well worth your read from the SI staff. But right now, his accuser, Brittany Taylor, scheduled to meet with the league to who is conducting an investigation.
Bill Belichick, boys and girls, can you help me win football games? That is your trip around the NFL on Grant and Danny, some of the news and notes you may have missed over the last day or so in the National Football League. We told you we would take your calls on who needs to step up for the Redskins. 800-636-1067. Got a couple of people we want to squeeze in here. And remember, it is Tuesday, which means Redskins Survivor. You can vote a player off the island. We'll do it after every single game. Voto Player Immune. We do this on Facebook at facebook.com/Grant and Danny in 1 hour. We'll find out who's getting sent home after week two. Josh Norman got booted after game one. Kevin's in Culpeper. What's up, buddy?
Kevin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, a couple quick things. I want to see more Chris Thompson. I think from the way he's played the last 2 weeks, it looks like he's got his speed back from when he was hurt a year or so ago. When he first came back, you could tell he wasn't quite right, but this year he seems like his normal self, but I just don't think they're getting him the ball enough. And then I want to get your opinion on one thing. So Jay's narrative is always that AP limits his offense in some way, but over the last year and a half, it seems like every time they've ever thrown him the ball, he catches it. And who would you want to have out in space more than AP? I mean, he runs around over people. I don't know why they don't throw him the little dump pass more like they do Chris Thompson as well. What do you think?
It's just not something throughout his career over the years that he's done a lot of. And I'd imagine a lot of smart coaches and play callers have been involved. It's not something he's that comfortable with. He did make a hell of a catch on a play that didn't actually count this weekend.
So it's not as if he has bad hands generally, right? But there's something to think of it this way. There's a difference between just sort of, let's say you're lined up in the shotgun, and you just flare to the right, right? You're a safety valve because you don't have to pass block. Difference between that and, say, Chris Thompson with a choice route, taking on a linebacker who's planting his foot to get the linebacker to commit inside, and then he breaks it back outside, or setting that up with three other moves that he made earlier in the game. He is not a route runner, talking about Adrian Peterson. That's not an insult, by the way. He does other things very, very well. That's just not his natural skill set. So teams know a lot more about what's coming than versus, say, when a Chris Thompson's in the game.
When you asked who would you rather have in space catching the ball, Thompson. And also Wendell Smallwood or Darius Geis. I mean, Peterson, as good as he is, he is not a guy that's a make-you-miss, elusive, and a water bug hopping around. He's a powerful, bruising guy. He's a between-the-tackles, north-south type back. Thompson, by the way, is on pace for 96 catches, averaging 6 catches per game through 2 contests so far. Reese, St. Mary's, you're on the Fan. All right, Reese, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
Goodbye, Reese.
Effort. You're going to have to speak, though. So the way that it works
huge
is
component.
You call in, you wait, we go to you, but then you got to talk at some point. That's the way the whole cookie crumbles here. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our Redskins beat reporter is Craig Hoffman. He joins the show live next, and when we go to him, ideally, he will say words.
That made me laugh, Grant. That's good for you. Here's something. There's no offseason at the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia, something for everyone, right? Let's say you're a fat schlub like me. You want to get yourself in better shape. They got you. Let's say you want to join a competitive league. They got you. Let's say you got kids and you're worried about keeping them entertained or keeping them active. They got you. Listen, the complex houses multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues. They have 2 regulation-sized ice rinks, a turf field house, gymnastics center, even an Olympic-sized pool. They're going to be hosting a football game for local high school, T.C. Williams, this season in that field house. They offer training, instruction, and competitive leagues and teams in more than 20 sports. I probably can't name 20 sports, and they've got over 20 all right there. They can take care of little kids with their daycare center. They can take care of big kids with the active entertainment center or some of the sports that we mentioned, right? The Premium Health Club, which, oh, by the way, is a Premium Health Club, multiple layers, multiple levels, all the workout rooms, all the classes, everything you'd possibly want. It offers top-of-the-line equipment, weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member gets 2 complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. With so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.